Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary Show. Inspiring stories that change lives. Where ordinary heroes tell their extraordinary stories of how they have triumphed over unexpected challenges. This is where we say what can't be said and use the AAA formula for freedom. Awareness, acceptance, and action. Now, here's your host, Hillary Burns.
Hello, and welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary show. And today, I am so excited. I'm just going to go right into the introduction to be here with Erica Berry. She is an intuitive energy healer. And one of my friends recommended her, I don't know, it might have been a year ago when I was having, she just said, hey, I just did this abundance program. I'm like, well, I can always use abundance. So I worked with Erica and I truly have created abundance. So her work works. And when you hear about it, it's very different. I don't know how it works. I don't think I need to know how it works, but it's fascinating and it's very powerful. So Erica Berry, welcome to the show today.
Yes, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So yes, and I think we've worked, I've called upon Erica. I think I called upon her like a month ago because I was stuck. I don't even remember what I was stuck about. That's how powerful her work is. That
it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. It's just gone. I can't even remember. So that's pretty cool. So Erica, how in the heck did you start learning to be an intuitive energy healer? And what do you want to tell us about your background? I know we talked about it a little bit, but I'll let you talk about, you know, the parts that you think can make the most difference to people.
Yeah, well, it's not something that I thought about when I was little. It's not something that was in my family. So I can trace it back, I think, though, to just being I was raised with very, very loving parents and very, very loving grandparents. And I grew up in this really small town, only 5,000 people. My grandparents lived on one side of the town and my other grandparents lived on the other side of town. And, you know, I had my parents and I had a younger brother, a younger sister, and we just stayed there my whole growing up. And
What town was it?
Ogallala, Nebraska, Western Nebraska.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ogallala. All right.
Ogallala. Yeah.
5,000 people. That's amazing. My high school is almost that big, right?
Really? Yeah.
No, not really, but sounds good. Sounds funny.
My graduating class was like 98 people or something like that. So, But I think it's fairly rare, I think, to stay somewhere your whole life. But even my parents, too. I mean, they grew up there, went to high school there, too. And so, yeah. So it was, I felt very surrounded and like solid in love. And then my dad was a preacher at a church there in town. And so my like church friends, my church family, I felt like I had a lot of extended grandparents. So all that to say, I feel like I just had a lot of love growing up and a good introduction to, you know, what is loving, what is safe to be me and safe to, you know, ask questions and things like that. And so I think that really introduced me to a good idea that there is greater love, you know, in the universe, that something loves and something loves through us. So, yeah, I just remember that even when I was little, feeling that love just permeating. And so I feel like that just became an important theme in my life. And I also remember certain times when, especially when it comes to like connection to God and like the source of this love that I was experiencing, I remember waking up in the night and there'd be thunderstorms, right? In the Midwest, you get these like brilliant thunderstorms. And I would wake up by myself. It's like 3 a.m. And I would just sit there and go upstairs and I would just sit on the couch and I would just feel the, you know, just the feeling of the power of this thunderstorm. and just really feel a strong connection with God through that storm.
Wow. How old do you think you were at that point?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
like
think I
little?
Was probably, no, okay. Probably more like middle school.
Middle school. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah. I
That's
grew up
cool.
Going.
I would have been like running under the bed.
I know.
You know, like afraid.
Yeah.
So
no, I
were
really
like
loved. I
open.
Really loved.
Wow.
Yeah, I was. I felt something, you know, and I'm really open to, I love storms. And I actually, when I was 15, I captured a tornado on video, and the local news station paid me, I think like $25 to air the, you know, the evidence that a tornado went through town. That was my claim to fame when I was 15. So in my
wait, so the tornado's going through town and you're standing outside filming it. Like how close was it?
It was probably like 3/4 of a mile away. It was kind of up on a hill. I was with my dad. My mom was in the basement, of course,
oh,
with my
okay.
sibling.
So your dad
probably,
was with you. All right.
Yeah.
And you weren't by
like,
yourself.
No, I
right.
was up on a picnic table getting it all. So
that's
yeah,
so
anyway.
Cool. Do you still have it? Do you still have it?
I have newspaper clippings of the story about it, but I don't know. I'm sure my parents have it somewhere.
Yeah, that would be cool to watch. Okay. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I also grew up going to this Bible camp, and it's a week in the summer, and we would do campfires. And I just remember those experiences of just looking up at the stars and realizing that there is a great love. And I am just this small person, but somehow this great love sees me and knows me, and I could experience that with my whole being, you know? So yeah, those are a few key things that I remember growing up. Like if I needed to go back and think like, why am I the way that what do I do what I do now? I think it's just that I really believe and experience this great love. And I really love to help people see that they are also part of this great love and that they are seen because, you know, when you're going through things that are really hard, like you're sick or you feel super blocked about something, you're wishing you could get somewhere with your life, whether it's a relationship or, you know, it's just something that you really desire. And if it's painful, it can feel like nobody is listening. You know, like this great love, this source of life, this God doesn't see you the way that God sees other people. And that's simply not true. It's just that we are not awake to it and aware of it, or we have blocks to it or whatever. So, yeah.
Wow. That is so cool.
Yeah.
What a profound thing for a young lady to be present to.
Yeah.
You know, I've never heard anyone else talk about that. That's really.
Yeah.
More like chills. Woo. Wow. That's really cool. Okay. So you go ahead. So keep going. So you were 15, you filmed a tornado, you know, regular old stuff, right? That everyone does. And then what? Standing on a picnic table, filming a tornado. That's
yeah.
And then what?
Well, there are a couple other things too, I would say. When I remember I had a car, so I was at least 16 or 17, but I still lived in Ogallala, so I hadn't left for college yet. So I was somewhere around that age. Whenever I would struggle with something emotionally, I would drive up to the top of the hill, and there was a softball complex, and it was just sort of overlooking everything, but there really weren't any lights out there. So again, I just found this place where it could be just me and God, and I needed to like talk about things, and I would cry there. And it was just a time of like this forming of, I don't know, like I think forming a relationship with myself, but also this relationship with God and who I knew that God knew me to be, and just really trying to uncover that deep truth.
So there you are. I'm just trying to picture it. You're there crying.
Yeah.
And did you hear God in your head? Was it a feeling? Like I hear dead people talk. So I hear them in my head. Some people see them. Some people like, was this a hearing or a seeing or a feeling?
You know, at the time, I wouldn't have even been able to probably tell you. It was just a knowing, just a sensing. And for me, it comes in the form of my own thoughts.
Okay.
But they're not, I mean, they're not my thoughts. They're inspired. You know, if I'm asking for that, then I believe that, you know, God just comes in and helps us to unravel things and get to the depth or the core of something.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So 16. Yeah. And then where did you go to college? What did you study?
Yeah. Well, then I went to York College in Nebraska. Also a small town, small college town. The college is about 400 people, 400 or 500 people. Yeah. I loved it. Loved my experience there. Loved my teachers. So I was actually a Bible major. Even though, you know, my parents are so supportive, but my dad was like, are you sure you want to be a Bible major? Because, like, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to make money? You know, but for me, I didn't know the answer to that. I just knew that I really wanted to go deeper. I wanted to just, like, figure some stuff out. And so, yeah, that's what I did. Went to school and just, like, studied Bible. Then I...
And you loved it. You loved it?
I did. Oh yeah. I totally loved it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
After I graduated, I moved to Japan and I lived there and I was teaching English and kind of just, I lived there for a year. I was really just wanted to experience another culture. Yeah.
Were you in a program or did you just go?
Well, a friend and I actually went together. So technically we went supported by churches.
Okay.
But the thing that we were doing was just to be there in love and to help them learn English. And then we worked with a little church there too. The church was maybe about 10 people. And so
did you have to know Japanese?
I learned it while I was there. Yeah. Yep.
That is so brave. Wow. Okay.
I mean, a lot of our friends wanted to practice English with us and we wanted to practice Japanese. So it was an exchange, but yeah. So that was super fun. After that, went to Abilene, Texas, where my husband went to seminary. Like my husband also came from the same college. We didn't go there at the same time though. But
how did you meet him?
I met him because he and his mission team, so they are also missionaries, same school, everything, same small church in Sendai, Japan. They came back for a furlough and I was a junior in college at the time. And I was like, hey, this guy is really interesting. He lives overseas. That's cool. He just had such a great loving personality, you know? So he was everything that I had prayed for and more, it turns out.
So did you go to Japan because he was there?
Yeah. So he was there for 5 years and my friend and I went kind of as a, kind of like an internship to just kind of see how it was. And also, you know, of course it had to do with like our relationship too. Like, is this going to work out? And so my friend and I had an apartment and we just kind of were coworkers with the team that was already there. So, yeah.
That's so cool. Okay. So then when you went to the Abilene, did he go to Abilene too?
Yep. So then we went there together and he got his degree in missions because we kind of thought we might, you know, go back to Japan and do mission work again. But we actually did not decide to do that. And instead we went back to Japan, but in a different capacity where we taught English through a program. Yeah.
Now, I've never heard of a mission degree or a Bible degree, not because there's anything wrong with it. I just never heard of it. Were you, when you were there teaching English, was it part of a mission, like a church thing, or you were just literally there to teach English? I mean, I know you were part of the church, right? It was a church thing.
Well, the first time it was a church thing. So we were like sent by our sponsoring church and, yeah, just a small Protestant church in York, Nebraska, but they had a connection to this church in Sendai, Japan, and they wanted missionaries to come. So my husband, he's a super fun guy, And he had a team of three other people, and they just wanted to do something really fun. And they had such a heart. In fact, one of our friends who was on our team is still there. So he's still in, just like doing awesome stuff and just really trying to help people to connect to the source of love, you know, and just to change their life in that way. So,
Your husband was there for 5 years. That's so long, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you're young, that's like a big chunk.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah. He committed 5 years to doing that. And
year were you there?
The very last one.
Oh, good. Okay. So then you could leave together. All right. And then,
so you went to
Abilene, then you went back to Japan for how long?
Another 2 years. And this time was not connected to a church. This was an actual program. So I taught in a middle school, a junior high, and my husband taught in elementary school. And we just had a lot of fun. Yeah.
Wow. How
it was
fun.
Good. And of course, doing that kind of stuff just really broadens who you are. It introduces you to ideas that other people think and that other cultures. It just helps, you know, it really helps to make you broader and to be a lot more, to be a good listener and to be an observer and to realize that the way you see things isn't the way everybody else necessarily sees them. So it really taught me to be flexible.
And what taught you? Was it working with the kids or just being in their culture? Like what?
I think just
the whole thing.
The whole thing. Yeah.
Wow.
Being in their culture, you know, the humility of being a brand new learner of the language and of making mistakes, like cultural mistakes, you know, like buying the wrong kind of flowers for somebody because they represent death. And if you accidentally gift somebody this certain flower, then you're basically like telling them, you know,
Oh my God.
Yeah, just making little language mistakes. It's just very, very humbling. And it really teaches you to be very forgiving of other people and yourself and to just be very flexible and go with the flow and just to have fun because mistakes happen. Have fun with your life, you know? So
yes. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So then what? Then you came back from Japan.
Yeah, then we
Where
came back
from
Japan.
Then?
So while we were in Japan, actually, I flew over to Hawaii and I took a 3 week yoga instructor course. And that was also very life-changing for me. It was really, really wonderful. So that's actually probably my first introduction to kind of energy stuff. They didn't talk a lot about it, but it was a little bit of an like introduction to the chakras, for example. I was not familiar with working with chakras, which is just the energy centers up and down the body. And so, so there was like a little taste of it. And yeah, but when we came back, so we ended up moving back to York, Nebraska. After we were finished in Japan, we moved back to York, Nebraska because our families were close by and things like that. I opened a yoga studio. And
after a 3 week training, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I loved it. I was good at teaching yoga. I loved it. I just knew that it would be an easy thing. And like, who else in New York, Nebraska is going to teach yoga if I don't? So,
right. Okay. So you didn't have a lot of competition. Okay, good.
No, I didn't. There were a couple others, but yeah. So, and then
that's
we lived
amazing.
There. Yeah. We lived there for 8 years. And just recently we sold our house and picked up our family, moved to St. Martin for 6 months, also just for an adventure with our three little kids, and then came back and we're now in Iowa. So that's, and we're kind of on to the next journey. We're hoping to do the next thing, you know, this summer with our kids. So we'll see what that turns out to be.
So you don't know where you're going to go next summer?
No, we don't. We got some options.
And how old are the kids?
8, 6, and 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. That was very fun.
And what's your husband doing now before we get into what you're doing?
Yeah. Yeah. He actually works online. He works for a health and wellness company. So both of us have done a little bit of that. He specializes in collagen. So yeah. So it's important to us. See, I think this is why it's important to me to do abundance work with people, because you can shape your life the way that you want it to be. And all what we forget to do is just get clear on what we want, and then we forget to ask. Or not that we forget to ask, but sometimes we don't feel that we deserve things or that we're worthy of anything that we want or that's good. But for Ben and I, he's the most fun person that I've ever spent time with. And so I married him, you know, he's so wonderful, and we like to do life together. So I think we just knew, like, for me, my love language is spending quality time together. And so it's important to me that of all things that we have quality time together with the people I care about. So that's including my kids and everything too. So we just decided to arrange our life so that we work and we do meaningful things, but we also just have fun and we're happy and we're together and we're just enjoying life. And so we have just kind of arranged things so that that's true. So we've taken care of for the first 6 years that we were in New York, six or seven, we took care of a couple of handicapped individuals in our home. And so that allowed us to be able to open our home, you know, to like take down some boundaries between like, this is my family, this is my castle, and just to invite some people in and a couple other families, like their parents were still living. So it was our goal to just really share life and share love and to increase the quality of life for these two people. And so they would go to work during the day, and we were responsible for taking care of them in the morning and making sure they got ready and got ready for work. And then when they'd come home, we would just hang out. We would share meals together and things like that. So it was so challenging and so beautiful at the same time. Like, it was so beautiful. And looking back, our children they learned so much, you know, like they learned so much about being sensitive and being kind to people who are different. And there was just a lot of love in that situation. There was challenges too, but there was a lot of love.
Can I ask a terrible question? Did you get paid to do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we okay.
Paid. I was it's still sort of like when you foster and they pay you to foster. So that's what we were kind of essentially doing, I guess, just taking care of these adult handicapped people.
Wow.
And they're very self-sufficient, but they just needed a little bit of help. You know what I mean? Like, they were great in a family setting and to just live in a home and not be alone. Otherwise they would.
Yeah.
Live alone.
Yeah. So, wow.
It allowed us to spend time together as a family though. So Ben, 3 weeks after my 8-year-old son was born, Ben quit his other job, which I think he was doing Starbucks at the time after we got back, just to get a quick job, you know?
Yeah.
And he quit that job and was able to just stay home full time. And from then on, we've always figured it out. How can we both like work really hard, but also do what we love and arrange our schedules and always be able to have time freedom, be able to choose what we do, choose where we live.
Wow. And were you still doing like the yoga studio then?
I had closed the studio once I started to have kids. It felt like a lot. So then I was just teaching yoga, you know, at gyms and stuff like that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So.
That's amazing. Yeah. So when we met, you were living in St. Thomas, right?
No. St. Martin. Yeah.
St. Close. Martin.
Yeah. Same group.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's amazing. All right. So we're a couple minutes early for halftime, I call it, but I think we could do it. And then we'll get into what you're doing now, if that's okay. Unless there's anything else you want to say about that time period.
Oh, no. If I think of it, I'll mention it, but yeah.
Okay. That's great. Extraordinary. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Are you inspired? Are you living a life story you are proud to tell? Are you actively pursuing and creating the life of your dreams? If not, you really need Hillary's AAA program for freedom. Just visit gettingrealwithhillary.com and schedule time with Hillary today.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. K-I-K-O-R-I.
That's our sponsor, Kikori. Kikori.com, kikoriapp.com. That's my daughter's company. That was her voice. I'm always so proud when I hear it. And Kikori works for businesses also to create teamwork. And it's not just for little kids. It's for all kids of all sizes and ages. Yeah. So thank you for that. Okay, so back to Erica Berry, intuitive energy healer.
Yeah.
So I'm so inspired, yeah, about the whole thing about love. It's just like, whoo, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, so let's talk about, what do you want to talk about? Trapped emotions, emotional health. How did you get into being an energy healer?
Yeah, so I actually started with something called Quantum Touch, rewind a little bit further back. What actually got me interested in this is that I was really struggling with back pain and neck pain. And like, no matter what I did, I was visiting the chiropractor several times a week, and I had been doing that for a couple years. And then I was also a yoga instructor. Right. So I'm like doing all the stretches and all the things that I knew, but nothing really seemed to help me. And so a friend of mine happened to mention that there was this person who she was sitting in the room with him, and he was an energy worker, and he helped her back. He was actually working on other things too, but he had helped her back, and she was new to it too. So she was like, I don't really know what he did. And I was like, okay. So I sat on that for about 6 months. And then I decided to just give him a call. And I think partly what I was doing in that 6 months was praying, you know, just like, because that's how I like to do it. I like things to kind of percolate. And I like to ask God about it and just like check where I am, check what feels good. And my filter for anything that I'm doing or thinking about is, does it pass through the fruits of the spirit? Like, does it produce the fruits of the spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So that's like my litmus test for, do I want to engage with this or not? And so I was just praying about it, and I decided to go ahead and call him. And over the phone, my neck felt better. Like, my neck hurt, and then it didn't. And I was like, what is this? And so, you know, off and on, I kind of just tried to learn, and I worked with this guy a little bit and just tried to learn, but mostly I was just receiving, right? I wasn't studying it or anything, but I was just very curious. But when I had an opportunity, I looked into a friend introduced me to a training that was going on, and it was for Quantum Touch. And Quantum Touch is cool because it allows you to, I still use it all the time, but you run energy through your body. And you run it between your hands, and the intention that you want is your mind going to the place. So if I was working on somebody with Quantum Touch, I would just picture what outcome I wanted or the area that I'm working, but I'm at a distance. I'm just running energy to my hands. And that was cool. The very first time that I tried it with somebody else, they had a bad UTI, symptoms of UTI. And within about 15 minutes, they just got up and it was completely gone. And they went to work instead of going to the emergency room, yeah, or whatever, urgent care. So I was like, what? Did I just do that? You know, did I just participate in something that was that cool? And so that was kind of my first introduction.
And was your back and neck better after working with that guy?
Yeah, I mean, it continued to get better. And I over the last several years, it's so different. I mean, I still work on it now and then, but overall, absolutely. There's certain things I just could, moves that I could, yoga felt aggravating to my back. Yeah. So yeah, it's completely different.
Huh?
Yeah.
So maybe it was telling you to do this instead, right?
Yeah, that's totally could be right. Yeah. Not quite in alignment.
Yeah.
With what your soul purpose is, but.
Interesting. Okay. So that was quantum touch. Okay. Then what?
Yeah. So while I was doing quantum touch and I studied to become a practitioner and everything, but I was feeling like I really wanted to be able to access more directly the emotions. I was really starting to just make a connection between things that I was feeling. And I really wanted help with what to do with my emotions. And I could see that emotions and emotional trauma, emotional baggage was the root of these physical issues that were manifesting for people. And so, you know, I just sort of put it out there to God that I'm, you know, I think I need something. I told Ben, I think I need something that's more focused on emotions. Well, I had happened upon a kind of an energy healing summit. And that's where Dr. Bradley Nelson made a presentation, and he's the creator of the emotion code and the body code, which is what I do. And just what he said really spoke to me. And so, yeah, he really taught me about where emotions come from and what happens and how we, you know, how we get to where we are, where we're very reactive and overreactive, and where we struggle with aches and pains and diseases and illnesses of all kinds. And how the emotions are at the root of that. So
wait, back up one sec. You said you happened to stumble upon this summit. You couldn't have just stumbled upon it. Like you must have been looking for it, right? Like did it just happen to go?
It probably just came up on my Facebook or something like that. I don't know. I'm not sure what it was, honestly.
Wow.
It was like just the universe.
To go, obviously.
During the pandemic. And so during the pandemic is where I got all my training, you know, and I just kind of did what I needed to do there. So for the body code and the emotion code.
So you learned it all from home. Like,
yeah, I did. Yep. Yep.
That's amazing. So,
yeah. That's the cool part about it is that it can be for, you know, I can be located anywhere in the world and still be able to work with people and affect change. So, because, you know, quantum physics.
Yeah. So you learned the emotion code and the body code. And then how did you just start your business? I mean, how did you start getting clients and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Well, I had a lot of connections. I had a lot of friends that just were my practice clients. And then from there, I think I probably asked for referrals. I started to put some stuff on social media. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are really, when you start to talk about emotions and trapping emotions and you start to explain kind of what's happening, they're like, yes, yes, that's my experience. You know, you talk about a heart wall, for example, people are like, I have a heart wall. I know I have one. It really resonates with me. And so I just started, when I talk about it, people respond really well because they know it just feels true in their soul and they want to experience that. They want help with whatever it is that they're stuck with. So yeah, I just put it out there. I don't know.
That's Yeah, because you're so, you know, when I do stuff, it's like, ooh, I like want to get validated. Like, I don't stand strongly out there, but you've always been so confident that this thing works. You know, like that was part of the appeal was you weren't like, well, maybe I'll try. You were just like, yeah, let's do it.
Let's
you know, so you truly believe in this. You truly, truly.
I really believe in it. Yeah. I don't always believe in myself as a business owner. You know, I definitely have my, we're all a work in progress, right? But I believe so much that God is listening on to me, but also that he'll listen to anybody. And so, I do have a lot of faith. And I think that's what I bring. That's what I bring to the table when I'm working with people, is that, you know, it's like the story in the Bible where the lame man needs to get to Jesus, but he's right in the middle of the crowd and they're packed all in this house and he can't get there. And so his friends put him on a mat, take him up to the roof, cut a hole in the roof and lower him down. And that story gives me chills because it's like the faith of the friends is what brought people to this space where this man had hope for healing. And, you know, I feel like it's important because sometimes you're just in a state of like crisis, or you're just so low that you really don't feel that anyone sees you. And, sometimes it's the faith of somebody else standing with you that helps you to realize that you are very, very valuable and that you are seen and that healing is possible. So, yeah.
So let's say somebody feels that way. They're at a low and they come to you. You want to talk about your process? Like, how do you want to let people know about how it works, or you were talking about trapped emotions. Like what?
Yeah.
I mean, I know you've untrapped them for me, but for someone who's never heard of this, can you describe that and how you free it?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the way that we understand it, so emotions are created by the organs and glands in your body. We used to think that it was the brain that makes emotions, but it's actually the energy of these emotions. What is an emotion? It's energy in motion. So energy is an actual thing in movement, and it's created by our organs and glands. So for example, your lungs create the frequency of grief, and your liver creates the frequency of anger, and your kidneys create fear. And so we have this emotional energy that's coming out of these organs and glands. And it starts off as like the size of your fist or so.
Wait, can you say that again? Lungs are grief, kidneys fear. What is liver?
I said liver was anger. Wow. Anger, resentment, bitterness all come from the liver. Yeah, and so if someone is having trouble in one of those organs, it's possible, it's probable that they have a lot of that emotional energy that's just kind of saturating that organ, and it needs help. It's asking for help. Right. So what happens is they are produced by these specific organs, but actually that they can get lodged anywhere in your body. So just because it started out as anger by the liver, it could be lodged in your big toe. So you come to me and you're like, my big toe is hurting. And so then we'll find what's there. And I'll usually, with pain, there's almost always emotions. And so I'll just find out what emotions are there. And it's just a frequency. And you can cancel the frequency. You basically, I don't know, I kind of think of it as like noise canceling headphones, where you cancel it with love because love sort of overrides it or something like that. I don't know how it works exactly, but yeah. So then you just plug the emotions to the body. Yeah. So what I wanted to say too is that we feel these emotions, and ideally we fully feel them and we fully process them. So when you fully process an emotion, it's because you allow it to be there. So like before this call, for example, I'm feeling nervousness. So my resistance to feeling nervous keeps the nervousness there. But if I actually relax and just say, you're welcome here. I see you there, nervousness, my old friend, because I feel nervous a lot for stuff like this. I see you there. You are actually welcome here, and I'm not going to resist you. The thing is, you're not going to be the driver. I'm the driver, and I feel like the driver because I'm allowing it. It's not here against my will. It's here, and I allow it. And what happens in that time is that emotion kind of, you feel it coming up, and then you actually feel it dissolve, and you have successfully processed an emotion, and it feels good to have that empowerment, right? Like you are not at the mercy of your sadness or your grief or your nervousness or your anger. You're not at the mercy. But these other voices sometimes tell us, well, I shouldn't still be grieving. I shouldn't get angry. It's not ladylike to get mad or whatever. So you have all these resistances to the emotions that you're feeling, but you're just human. And all of the emotions are okay and valid. And they, so, but if we interrupt the process of fully feeling and, you know, allowing ourselves to feel these emotions, what can happen is we trap them in the body and they don't just go away. They don't just dissolve. They actually stay in our energy field until they're attended to, because what they wanted was attention. And so they're going to get your attention one way or another. Either you're going to, you know, you're going to flip your lid later on because you have all this emotional pressure of resentment or anger or whatever it is, or your body is going to start to hurt, right? Like you're going to start to, you're just going to start, your body's going to tell you that something's not right. So I feel like we send this energy to vulnerable places. And then that way, you know, if you have a knee, if you're, you have a knee injury in your past or like a surgery or something, you're going to start to send emotional energy there because that's a good way for it to get your attention. So that's where I come in is I ask, because ask and you shall receive. I ask the body what is there, and intuitively it comes to me and I release what's there, and the result is sometimes very instant pain relief. Sometimes it's over time. It's a feeling of lightness. It's a removal of the block, like something that you thought was such a big mountain in front of you. Suddenly it's just a little molehill. It's not a big deal. You know, the emotional energy behind that thing is gone and you just shift into a different person. And sometimes it's hard to do that for our own self, right? Like you can sit, right, and you can meditate, but you can just get in this thought loop. And so I like to partner with people. Yeah.
So, all right. Let's take, if you don't mind, I'm looking up. Okay. So let's say I have knee pain.
Yeah.
And I come to you. Do you just intuit it, or do you have like a computer thing that you do?
I do. I actually have a chart that I follow, and okay, I use muscle testing. So muscle testing, we're connected, and I muscle test and I just check to see on this chart what emotions are there. And it's more than just like we're talking about emotions now, but what I actually do too is I look for other things too. I look for misalignments in the structure of your body. I look for, you know, pathogens, viruses that are hanging out, bacteria, because some people come to me with like, you know, illnesses, and we need to go in and see, do you have mold? I look for allergies and intolerances and things like that. And we clear those to foods or to things in the environment, stuff like that. So there's a lot of things that we look for. But yeah, I use a chart and I use muscle testing, and then we just clear them as we find.
Can I just tell people that we've done this on the phone?
Yeah.
I'm not even there. And and Erica is going, I guess you're going through your chart and doing the muscle test. And is it always yes or no?
Yeah, you always ask us yes or no questions to the
subconscious, so that you know like where to go. And then she releases it. I mean, I'm not even there. She's not even touching me. This is all over. It's an incredible thing. And again, who knows how it works, but it does work.
Yeah.
We did it with abundance, but you can do it with illness or pain or anything.
Yeah.
Just, and it sounds like you can't explain it. Like if I was going to tell someone about it, they'd be like, yeah, right. You're getting taken, you know, you're getting ripped off. This is nuts.
Right.
But they don't have to believe it because it's not their body, right? Now, one other thing, you had told me to read the Joe Dispenza book. I don't know if I'm saying it right, and he was talking about we're addicted to certain emotions.
Yes.
And after I read that, I kind of stopped at that point and I was just like, oh my God, like, I think I'm addicted to dread.
Yeah.
I definitely worry.
And
then he says by being addicted, it keeps you stuck.
Yeah.
And you don't get past it.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Right. Yeah, if you take a hard look. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, and so I think just like, you know, who knows? I'll go on to the next thing when I forget about this one. But for now, it's like when I can see the dread, like on leg day at the gym, it's like, oh, I'm like, oh, yeah, let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. Because it's like, that's, you know, something I dread. I hate doing the squats, but I do them, but I dread, you know, I kind of suffer through it. So to just notice, oh, there's the dread again, or there's the worry up. I hear a noise. There's the fear, you know, all that stuff. I can be aware of it, and it kind of releases just by the awareness.
Yes, it does. That's right.
But it's amazing. I mean, if you see someone else, you could see, oh, they're, you know, like I have someone, she's always upset or afraid.
Yeah.
It's just the way she is, you know, it's a pattern, you know,
yeah.
It's not wrong, but
yeah,
I could see that she stays locked there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to mention that because that was our last conversation. It really made a big difference, that book.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Joe Dispenza's work, and I use his potentials meditation all the time. And I think he's bringing such a great aspect to energy work, actually, because he's actually measuring stuff. So he's getting groups together every month, and he's drawing blood, and they're hooking people's brains up to things. And he's actually getting quantifiable data of what actually happens when what we can do with our minds. And so, and a part of what he does too is that you sync up your heart and your mind. So, and when you do that, he has about 8 people who are very good at this heart brain connection. And he puts a person in the middle of a circle, and they send healing energy to this person. So it is a measurable thing. Things start to physiologically, biologically change in our body. We can change our DNA just by shifting our beliefs and our thoughts and our emotional chemistry. And so the emotions of, you know, gratitude and love and joy are literally healing and changing your body. And conversely, feelings like shame is one of the lowest emotions. Shame and anger and grief and hopelessness, you know, some of these things are detrimental, and you can see it. When you can see different things happening in the body, and you can see the outcomes too of changes. So it is really, really.
So let's just say, okay, we got 5 minutes. So a couple more minutes about this, because this is fascinating. So let's just say someone's feeling hopeless. Like sometimes I just feel hopeless.
Yeah.
Then I guess the first step is being aware.
Yeah. Yep.
And then what? How do you jump to the gratitude, love, and joy?
Yeah, I think maybe the goal is to get more neutral.
Mm.
Yeah, but you don't try to like force your way to neutral. You know, instead, what helps me is, some people like this analogy too, like the driver. So you have a bus driver, and hopelessness gets on your bus. You're just driving along, and hopelessness gets on your bus, and you're like, okay. Hi, hopelessness, my old friend.
Yes.
Yeah, you almost befriend it. My old friend. Okay. Like, I'm very familiar with you.
So you don't try to kill it off. You accept it. You embrace it. Oh, okay.
Kind of.
And just trying to get rid of it, I know, gets me in a worse.
Then
I'm wrong for being that way. And then it becomes a vicious circle, right?
Yeah, you try to get rid of it. You're feeding it. You're feeding the animal.
Oh.
But instead, if you can imagine that you have a certain amount of this energy built up in your body. That's why you attract it so much, because you attract what you already like, right? So you have a lot of hopelessness. And so hopelessness gets on your bus. If you allow it to be there, and you can take some deep breaths, but you can also just say like, I don't resist. I'm not resisting it. It is okay to feel what I'm feeling. You're actually letting out some of that stored up energy. And if you do that, if you stay present to it, every time you start to feel hopelessness, you're going to feel hopelessness less and less and less and less and less and less. You just are. You're going to start to notice that you are just not a hopeless person anymore, because you attended to it. You allowed it to be there. And it's almost like a pressure cooker. You're like letting out the steam every time that you are present, and you are loving yourself enough to stay there with that emotion.
Wow.
So that's how you
do it. Incredible.
Yeah.
Just, my old friend, get on the bus.
I literally say that to my emotions. Nervousness, my old friend, or whatever it is. So It
I love
works.
that. That's so, because yes, I've resisted it and it's wrong and I should be, I'm trying to be grateful and love and joy and I'm stuck with hope, you know, and it, I'm
Yeah.
just like, I'm making it worse. I know I'm making it worse, but that's what makes it worse. 'Cause you know, it's like this vicious
You're
cycle that I
feeding
get stuck in. Yeah. Wow. That was amazing. Yeah. Thank you. All right. So we have a couple minutes. How can people find you? Because I think they're all going to want to sign up. I do. I'm sure Doug does too. How do we sign up with you, or how do we find you? Yeah.
So I have a couple different sites that you go to. My business name is Regenerative Healing, like
Okay.
regenerate, regenerative healing
Okay.
dot AS dot ME.
Okay. So regenerativehealing.as.me. Okay.
So that's kind of my landing page where you can see a few of the different things that I offer. And then I'm also on heal.me, which is another host site. You can just
Okay.
search my name, Erica Berry, or Regenerative Healing. And then I'm on
And
Instagram.
Erica is ERICA, right?
CA, yes, correct.
ERRY. Okay. So there are other people on heal.me and they'd have to find you on there, but regenerativehealing.as.me is just you.
That's just me.
Okay. Okay, cool. All right. Wow. So anything else you want to leave people with? This has been so cool. I mean, just from, you know what, just it really, I'm a crier, so I'll start crying, but you know, even to be the whole love thing from your childhood that now, you know, that has been the whatever road, you know, not road, but what's the word? Whatever for your life. You know, that, and that's taken you here to heal people. It's incredible. From Ogallala, Nebraska, right? Yeah.
I think what I would want to leave with people is to realize and just to pay attention that when you ask for things, when you're asking for something with your heart, to see it as like really planting a seed and then really just let it go and trust and just see how God or the universe really arranges things to make that come to you in a way that is right for you and at a time that's right for you. And to just believe that it's possible. So if you're in a place where you feel like, you're just grinding, trying to get somewhere, and you're feeling very stuck in a loop and trapped and things like that, to just pause and be able to say, here's what I'm looking for, and get very clear on it, and just plant that seed. And it takes time to grow a garden, but you just plant that seed, and then you walk away, and you can water it with faith and love, But to just know that you are seen, you are listened to, you are not stuck in your illness, you are not stuck in your business, you are not stuck in relationships, you're not stuck. That's a lie. That's a lie that we are kind of conditioned to believe. You are not stuck, though. You are empowered. You have the ability and the power to shift your life. So.
Wow. And welcome those other emotions on the bus.
That's right.
And
Yeah,
don't
be.
fight them. Yeah. 'Cause I could see if you ask for something and then it doesn't happen, that's where I would go back to, you know,
Your old way
resignation.
of thinking. Yeah,
Yeah. But I can just
absolutely.
let resignation on the bus. Come
Yeah, that's right. And life is.
on, join hopelessness on my
That's
bus.
right. And
That's
like,
awesome.
what's the point of it all if you're not happy and joyful,
Right.
right? Like, what's the
Right.
point of life if you're not experiencing joy?
Yeah.
So allowing
Wow.
yourself to release that stuff and get to a place of just like, I love my life. I'm
Yeah.
happy. Things are
Wow.
good. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Erica. This has
Yeah,
been
thank you,
so
Hillary.
great. And I'm glad you came. And I guess we better wrap it up. So take her away.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Getting Real with Hillary Show. We hope you were entertained and inspired. Please subscribe to Hillary's newsletter. Go to gettingrealwithhillary.com for more freedom techniques and fantastic stories and links to other great stuff. And don't forget to tune in every week on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio TV. And let's get real. Let's get connected. Let's get inspired and create that life you love.